He's ready.
That's right.
It's mid-season, out of season.
On the twinkle of an eye.
That's what it says.
Ready to serve him.
Woo! Glory to God.
Because we never know. We hasten the day of
his
return.
That's right. Hasten the day of the Lord.
And you don't know. But today, it's not over yet. And today could be the day that he comes.
Woo!
Are you ready to go?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
I'm ready.
Just give him a wave off.
Amen.
Just worship him a little bit tonight.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord.
We often hear of Christ's return to catch away.
Woo!
Those who sojourn in a land where we'll never cease to roam. All the signs had been fulfilled. Soon will be for Zion's hill. This could be the day
the
saints are gathered home.
Amen.
This could be the day he comes. Sleep clouds, he'll say well done. The saints who have been wearing
thank you, brother.
And months to days, time has swiftly passed away.
Yeah.
And now we face our final moments here below.
Amen.
But I know the word of God is true.
Yeah.
He'll soon redeem
his
souls in few.
Yeah, well.
And this could be the day he comes for me.
was wonderful, and we were blessed.
Amen.
And some of the ladies I found out in the church are my neighbors right down the street here.
Good. Bless the Lord.
And we were talking this morning, some of the ladies and I,
bless the Lord,
about the fact that our daughter had adopted 7 children, and that's why she doesn't sing with us anymore.
Bless her.
And we look at those children, and bless they don't often talk about their past circumstances.
Bless the Lord.
But every once in a while, they'll see something or they'll hear something, and they'll say, we know what that's like.
Bless the Lord.
And they've let things come out, like the fact that there's been times when they didn't have any food to eat in the
bless
house.
Bless the Lord.
And so they would eat the dry dog food.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any water turned on in the house, so they would dip water out of the back of the commode.
Yeah.
And they would just toss from here and there.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of like we are in
that's
this
right.
world.
Soul journey.
You know, we're just tossed here and there in this old world.
Right.
But they were looking for a forever home.
Bless the Lord.
Woo! And that's what I'm looking for.
Amen.
A forever home.
Amen.
And one of these
thank
days,
you, Lord. Woo!
We're going to go to a place
Hallelujah.
We can really call home.
Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God for a place called heaven.
The old hymn said, this world's not my home.
But yeah, man.
Passing through.
That's right.
I'm not at fault in this world. As they say, I'm just passing through.
That's my brother, Lord.
But I'm Woo! Looking forward to trade my cross for Roman crown, brand new.
Yeah, man.
And it won't be hard to say goodbye.
That's right.
To this world where I have roamed, and I could be gone any moment.
Yeah.
To a place I can really call home.
Woo, yeah. Hallelujah, man.
We're going home.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, in that land,
sing it.
No tears to tear my eyes. Listen, there'll be no hungry nor homeless.
Thank you, Lord.
We won't ever have to say goodbye. There'll be no more heartaches. No homes torn apart.
Sing.
I may be leaving
Woo!
For my home that's beyond the sky.
Yeah.
I'll be caught up together with the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. Then I'll be in heaven.
Amen.
Oh, that place we dreamed of so long.
Amen.
Like this. Then I'll hear Jesus say, well done.
Amen.
Enter in
Amen.
To this place you can really Woo. Call home.
Yes. Amen. Bless the Lord.
For in that land there's no more sorrow. Or homeless, we won't ever have to say goodbye. There'll be no more heartache.
I don't want.
Or homes torn all apart. There'll be no more sickness. We'll never be alone.
Heaven.
It's the place we can really call. Lord said, one of these days I'm going
to
say, well done.
Yeah.
Soon I will be leaving.
Bless you, Lord.
For that home
yeah.
that's beyond the sky. Listen.
Listen.
I'm going to be caught up together with the Lord.
That's right.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Bless
you. And then I'll be in heaven.
Bless you, brother.
That place I've dreamed of so long.
Amen.
To be real.
Yeah.
I'll hear Jesus say, well done.
Amen.
Enter in
yeah.
to this place. Amen. You can really call home.
Amen.
Born in that land, there's no more sorrow.
no more sickness, we'll never be alone.
Heaven.
It's the place we can really call home. There'll be no more sickness, we'll never be alone. It's a place we can really call home.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I heard the brother say during his prayer a while ago, I'm looking forward to that day.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that day too, friend.
Amen, amen, sister.
And I tell you what, I've seen a whole lot of things in this old world.
Bless the Lord.
I thought were amazing. You see, I stood on the banks of the Grand Canyon and,
bless the Lord,
and looked where it looked like God just took his finger. But somehow that seemed a dim after a while. Mm-hmm. I've seen so many things. I've seen the lights of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But that seemed to dim after a while.
Amen. Too. Amen.
But there's one thing in my life.
Woo!
Yeah.
That has never, ever gotten any dimmer.
Amen.
And that's the fact of the night that the Lord shines his love in my life.
That's right.
And no matter where I go or what I do or what I see, I've never got over that I'm not under the bondage of sin anymore.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody here still amazed at what God can do with an old sinner's
heart
when he comes to an altar of repentance and cries out to the Lord, save me. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I never got over. I am not under
bless you, Lord,
bondage of sin anymore.
That's right.
I'm still amazed. Jesus would pay a debt.
Thank you, Lord.
I could not afford, and I never got past.
Bless
you. I'm free at last from sin that made me a slave.
Woo.
And I feel just as much as when he first touched me. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed.
Can you still feel it?
I'm amazed to know
Woo.
How far God would go to set a lost man free.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm still in awe. He gave it all for an old sinner like me.
Amen.
I never got
over
that this King would shoulder my sins with all its disgrace.
Amen.
Calvary's hill gives me a thrill.
Amen.
Oh yes, I'm still amazed.
Amen.
Well, I'm amazed that a stranger would accept a manger instead of a king.
Amen. Think about that.
I'm still at a loss. But he took the cross.
Yeah, he did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
He's the only
Woo!
Who gave everything in exchange for a toll.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I still love to ponder. It's God.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Woo.
I'm still amazed.
Hey.
I'm amazed.
Thank you.
How far God would go to
thank
set
you,
a lost man free.
Amen.
I'm still in awe. He'd give it all for an old sinner like me.
Amen.
I've never got over
Amen.
That this King would shoulder my sin.
Thank you, Lord.
With all its disgrace, Calvary's here to give me a thrill. Oh yes, I'm still amazed. Calvary's here to give me a thrill.
That's right.
Oh yes, I'm still about where Jesus brought me
bless
from.
Yeah.
When I think about where I would have been had he not brought me from there.
Right.
You see, I've got a pretty good idea where I was heading.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think
we all do.
Of what God done, you see.
Amen.
Not only did he scrape the bottom of the barrel, he had to pick the bottom up and scrape underneath of it.
Bless her, Lord.
And we've seen some amazing things in our time. We've seen our daughter healed of a tumor at the base of her skull where they said they'd never seen one that wasn't malignant.
Bless her, Lord.
But you know, when they went in there and took that out, he said, "Would never made me believe it, but all that is a blob of fat." You come too late to tell me my God.
Yeah, man. Bless your heart.
We've seen loved ones staring.
Yeah.
Who people said, "You'll never reach him."
Yeah.
But we just kept on.
Yeah.
I seen my husband get up out of bed in the middle of the night because he felt like going and talking to somebody.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Bless you.
And those people came to know the Lord.
Yeah.
Because somebody was obedient.
That works.
Woo!
And you know what? Sometimes we sit in church and look like we don't have a thing to be thankful for.
Right.
And act like we are just the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, people, we've got victory here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If
man.
You're born again, you've got victory. And it's time people got up and started worshiping the Lord and just had themselves a good old-fashioned victory party.
Amen. Yeah. God bless you, sis.
Glory.
Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Let's have a victory party. We just stormed the devil's gates.
Yeah.
My sister seen the healing. Another brother just got saved. I thought we'd get some fun.
Yeah.
I can tell it's going to be great.
Church,
we're having a victory party.
Hey.
We got a lot to celebrate.
That's right.
I'm here tonight in the night atmosphere.
Bless
you. Carried away, lost in time. Happy without a care. The way I think about what God's done.
Bless you,
Lord.
Bless
you. I get a little bit excited.
Oh, yeah.
No use to try and hide it.
Right.
And it puts me in a victory party. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Oh, let's have a victory party. To the strong, the devil's gates. My sister seemed to be another brother just got saved. I'm confident against the water. I can take it's going to be great.
Church,
let's have a victory party. We got a lot to celebrate.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Time to punch a Christian, just make the devil real mad and put him more in the line. Poor God said we was pretty bad, amen.
That's right.
I believe he said his seed and the birds his feet like
that. That's right.
Well, can't you just see the devil and his crew?
Bless
you. You know they're pacing around trying to figure us out. I wonder what to do. They use the most impressive strategic plan.
Yes, they do.
But we overcame those forces by the word of our testimony.
Amen.
And won the battle by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Let's have a victory party. We're the storm of the devil's gates. My sister seen the healing. Another brother just got saved.
Amen.
My God, we get some honor. I can tell it's going to be great. We're having a victory party. We got a lot to celebrate.
That's right.
Let's have a victory party. We're the storm of the devil's gates. My sister seen the healing. Brothers, time to be saved, and my God will be against the bottom. I can tell you it's going to be great.
Yeah.
We're having a victory party. We got a lot to celebrate.
Glory.
Let's have a victory party. We got a lot to celebrate. We got a lot to celebrate. We got a lot to celebrate.
Woo!
Amen.
Praise the
Lord.
I tell you what. God's people got more right to celebrate than anybody.
That's right.
This is a weekend where there will be lots of partying, lots of things going on. Nobody has more to be thankful for than God's people.
Amen.
And I heard the preacher this morning asking for volunteers because he can't carry this all by himself.
Amen.
See, God never saved anybody to warm up a seat.
Amen.
There is something for every single person to do. And I challenge you, if you're not doing something for the Lord, and that doesn't necessarily mean getting up here in the pulpit. You know, that could be sweeping the floor or helping with the snacks for the vacation Bible school or maybe even helping take some of those little kids to the bathroom.
Right.
You see, that's work for the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
It takes people.
Yes.
And so our challenge is, we leave here,
bless
to take this song into your heart.
Bless the Lord.
And let it be your prayer tonight.
Bless.
It says, I'm ready to serve.
Bless the Lord.
Thank you,
sir. Bless the Lord.
I'm ready to give, Lord, I'm willing.
Come on, brother.
Are you ready to serve God?
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we certainly enjoyed it.
Yes.
Both the services and singing. It's all good tonight. It's just outstanding.
Amen.
I appreciate these folks, and as I said this morning, their service for the Lord, and I just appreciate them, and I like his name, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Name's Rick, and you know
that. That's right.
All right. We have enjoyed them today, and the Lord just fixed this up, put it together there, and they don't live too far from the church. So we're probably knocking on the door all the time now.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right, let's open our Bibles tonight for a little while to the book of Joshua tonight. The book of Joshua. And we're going to read 7 verses tonight there in the book of Joshua. And we'll read verse 7 together when we get to it tonight. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 1 through verse 7 tonight. We could have just listened to them sing, and I know somebody's thinking, why didn't we? But we're just trying to follow the Lord tonight.
Amen.
And do what he wants to do. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And the Bible said, it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. You shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Now let's read that verse together, all right, verse 6. Instead of verse 7. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Thank you. May be seated. Lord, what a blessing tonight. We can leave, Lord, right now and say it's been good today to be in the Lord's house and be with God's people. And Lord, we appreciate your blessings. We know your storehouse is not empty. We know, Lord, what little we took today from heaven's storehouse would be like taking a teaspoon of water out of the Atlantic Ocean. Lord, we know there's many much more up there, Lord, tonight. And we come tonight and ask the Lord to speak to us for a few minutes here tonight out of His Word. And Lord, I thank you for the one saved this morning. And we pray that, Lord, if there's someone tonight, Lord, uncertain about where they'd spend eternity, we pray that, Lord, tonight they might settle it, Lord, at the cross. And we do thank you for everyone that is saved. And Lord, what a blessing to have this many people on a Memorial Day weekend that would come back to the house of God to hear singing and preaching. And I pray you'll bless them for it tonight.
Yes.
And I ask your help this evening in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Moses is gone. Chapter 1, Moses has died. And Joshua is taken over. Moses and all the generation who came out of Egypt came across the Red Sea. They all have perished through unbelief in the wilderness.
Right.
A And now a brand new generation must cross Jordan.
Amen.
And this new generation must cross Jordan because the old generation, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years.
Right.
Yeah.
They never did get to where God intended them to go. That's where most Christians are tonight. They're out of Egypt. They got saved. They got out of Egypt. But they have never really got to where God intends for them to go.
Amen, brother.
But now we have a new generation that must cross Jordan with our new leader, Joshua. And afterwards, they're instructed by God. They're instructed when they cross Jordan that they are to take 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan. They are to pile them up on the bank and the camp where that they would be encamped.
Amen.
They were to take 12 more stones and pile them up in the middle of Jordan. God had instructed them to do this thing. And their text verse said that God had told them to do this because that there would come a day when that their children would say, Papa, what's these stones mean? Papa, what's these stones for? Tonight you say, Brother Rick, the text says that they would ask their fathers, my grandchildren don't call me father. They call me Papa.
Uh-huh.
And I can imagine tonight that these children, whenever they'd come back and they'd see that pile of stones over here and that pile of stones that they couldn't see in under Jordan, but they could tell them about them, that they would say, Papa, what do these stones mean? And I want to preach tonight upon that subject tonight for just a few minutes on Papa. What does these stones mean? I believe that when they asked their fathers and they to come, they wandered back through and they saw this pile of stones laying there. And children, you know, they're inquisitive anyway. You do know that, don't you? And they reach a certain age there where they say, Papa, why does this happen?
Yeah.
And you say, well, it's because of this. And they say, why
right. Is
it because of this? And you say, well, it's because of this, because of this. That's and they say, why is it because of this, because of this? And God, knowing that they would be inquisitive children, God had set this up to provoke their minds that they might ask, what's the meaning of these stones? And I think their papas may have answered them, and they might have said something like this, well, son, daughter, those stones were man-made stones.
Yeah.
Those stones are there because God told us to put them stones there. You see, it was a test of obedience. God many times asked us to do things for one simple reason, and I believe it tonight. He asked us to do it because it is a test of obedience. God simply wants us to see if we're going to obey God or not. I remember years ago, I was leaving town on a Monday morning to go up north to carry on a revival meeting, and we had had a preacher in here, and I'd kept him up over to the motel on Happy Valley years ago. And I went over there to pay that motel bill after Sunday night service. And I walked in, and the Holy Ghost, Brother Eddie, he said, you need to witness to that fella. Well, I'm tired from the day. I'm looking at the fella, and I think, I let it go. I don't witness it to him. I get in my car. I drive from Happy Valley Inn over to the corner of Cherry Street where the Phillips 66 station is.
By the time I got over there, I was so convicted. I turned and started around, and my wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I've got to go back over there to that motel." I walked into the motel, and I said, "Sir, I want to apologize to you. I said, I was here a minute ago, and the Lord told me to witness to you, and I failed to do it. But I'm leaving town in the morning to preach a revival in an adjoining state." And I said, "The Lord said to me, son, they ain't no use going up in the northern part of Indiana to preach if you can't witness to a man in your own hometown." I said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, "Yes, I am." When he said that, my heart just almost dropped. I thought, why did God convict me, send me all the way back over here to witness to a man that was already saved? And the Holy Ghost said it was a test of obedience. Amen. I'm glad I passed the test. But all through our life, God is putting things for us to do. Simple things. It's not going to Africa or China. It's not giving $1 million. Sometimes God just asks us to do simple things because he that is faithful over a few things, God will make him master over many things. It was what Samuel told Saul. He said, "To obey is better than sacrifice." It's wonderful to come to the altar and get forgiveness from God. But even greater still is to not ever commit the sin that makes us have to come down and get forgiveness from God. It was a test of obedience. God mandated this. You see, this was not an easy thing. This task was not an easy one that God asked them to do. You see, they had already marched many miles. A million probably people are with them. They are crossing this Jordan that God has opened up. They don't know what awaits them on the other side. No doubt they're tired, physically, mentally exhausted. And God says, "I pick out 12 men having to go down there and get 12 large stones." I know there's large because the Bible said they put it upon their shoulder. You see tonight, God asks us sometimes to do some hard things as we serve God. It's not all a bed of roses, brother and sister. Sometimes God asks us to do some very hard things. And this was a hard thing that God had asked them to do. Can I tell you, it's not a convenient time. Did you know God, he sometimes asks us to do things that is not always at a convenient time. The sister said that God woke Brother Rick up in the wee hours of the morning and said, "Go see a man." It'd been better to wait till 7. It'd been better to wait till he was up in our kind of a thinking. But God don't think like we do. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. Can I tell you that if he had showed up at that man's door at 7 o'clock in the morning, it would have meant something. But it meant a lot more when he showed up at 3:30 or so in the morning, because that spoke of the urgency of the matter. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Isn't that what Felix said? He said, "Go your way, Paul, and when I have a more convenient time, I'll call for you." As far as I know, that convenient time never, ever came. Amen. You see tonight, God, he asked us to do things at a time that's not always convenient. God puts our children in our care.
Yes, he does.
And I believe here's where we lost it, folks.
Amen.
I believe back several generations ago, we quit teaching our children.
Come on.
We start expecting the church to teach them. And then the schoolhouse to teach them. And then the government to teach them. What happened was that the government taught them the wrong things. The government then would not allow them to be taught what they needed to be taught down in the schoolhouse. And then sad to say, most children never get one Bible verse taught to them in their own home. Amen. And so you see, the devil had a strategic plan. His plan was to make sure that your children never knew enough about God to say, Papa, why do we do this for? You see tonight, we have Bibles. And when them little children say, Papa, what's that Bible? We say, that's God's Word. God gave us that Bible from heaven. It's the most precious book. It's our final authority of all matters of faith and practice. Did your children ever say this? Maybe on the way to Sunday school or on the way back on Sunday night, did they ever say, Papa, why do we have to go to church all the time? I remember my little grandson, or my youngest son, when he was just a small boy, he was playing in the backyard with a little neighbor girl. I was up on a little porch we had, and they didn't know I was up there, and I heard a Brother Rick talking, and I heard that little girl, my son said, do y'all go to church anywhere? And that little girl said, we don't go to church. And she said, do y'all go to church? And my son said, every time the doors open. And I've had them ask us, why do we have to go to church all the time? Those are golden opportunities. And God knows I've missed a million of them. But those are golden opportunities that God gives us. My friend, to tell our children we have to go to church because God said we ought to go to church. And then take God's old book and open it up to Hebrews 10 and 25. And say, see here, children, God said we ought to go to God's house. I tell you, their children would have never got in the shape they're in this country tonight if we had been telling our children and explaining our children about God and who Jesus is and the Word of God and why we go to church and why do we put money in the offering plate if we'd explained it all to them and took the Bible and opened it up. Said, see here, it's what God said. You see, God's mandated some things that you and I do.
Come on, brother.
It's not an option.
No, it's not.
The world thinks it is, but it's mandated of God.
Amen.
Mandated of God. God mandated where to go to church.
Yes.
God did that.
Yes, he did.
God mandated that we study our Bible.
Right.
God mandated that we follow the Great Commission, do what we can to get the gospel out to all different parts of this world. God mandated that.
Yes.
Brother, when them children said, Papa, what's that big pile of rock there?
Bless him, Lord.
They could say, God mandated that pile of stones. We did that because God told us to do that.
Amen.
I see them coming up there, walking around that big pile of rock, big pile of stones. And verse 6 said, when the children asked their fathers in time to come, what mean ye these stones? I think they might say something like this. Well, son or daughter, those are meaningful stones. God had a meaning in doing this. You see, God don't just do things because he don't have nothing else to do. God, he just don't do things without any purpose or reason. We may not know what the purpose or the reason is, but God always has a purpose and a reason in what he says to do.
You're right, Brother Rick.
See, God has a purpose in preaching tonight.
Yeah.
It's not so that some class of men might have a profession. You see, preaching's not a profession.
No. Amen.
Preaching's a call.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher?
Yeah.
And how shall they preach except to be sent?
Yeah.
I still believe God
calls men to the ministry. And God calls people by the different ministries in the church. And I'm glad tonight God has a purpose in preaching. It's not just so I can just get up here and scream and yell. That's not the reason. It's not so that I can get up here and vent what I might be feeling. That's not the reason. But the Bible said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. How many of you tonight that are saved? How many of you tonight are saved because of the result of the preaching of the Word of God? You see, almost every hand in the building went up. Why? Because God had a purpose tonight in the preaching of the Word of God. How shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard?
Amen.
How shall they hear without a preacher?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. God has a purpose in us being here tonight.
Amen.
You know, a lot of churches tonight, they don't have this Sunday night service. A lot of them only have the Sunday morning. They say people quit coming, so they quit having it. And they're cutting back. Can I tell you tonight, the Bible don't say cut back. The Bible says, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. If we're guilty of anything, we're guilty of not having enough church.
Amen.
Because He said, as you see the day approaching, do you see that day approaching? I tell you, you'd have to be a blind man if you can't see that day approaching. And the Lord said, we need to be together and assemble ourselves together more. You say, why? Because the Bible said we need to encourage. We need to provoke one another unto love and good works. There's many quitting tonight. They're quitting by the multiplied thousands. And we need each other tonight. We need to meet together tonight. We need to encourage one another tonight in the things of God. God has a purpose tonight in going to church.
Amen.
You know, God has a purpose tonight. Have you ever had your kids? We used to have, you know, we've had several ladies down through the years get happy and shout. And I miss them.
Bless them, Lord.
But sometimes they get shouting. And God moves on them and get to shouting for the Lord. We get in the car and start home. The kids might say, what's that woman do? What's she doing? You see, that's the same thing as saying, Papa.
What's he stoned for?
What that woman jump up and down for? What's she hollering about, Papa? She crazy? We say, no, son. No, she's not crazy. She's just crazy about the Lord.
Amen.
She's just excited about the Lord. She just loves Jesus real good. Let me explain it to you, son. You know, Friday night down there at the football field when they caught the ball and they run the length of the field and they made that touchdown. You know, son, how they jumped up and shouted and hollered and run up and down the field and said, that's my boy. I said, it's kind of like that, son. I said, Jesus scored a touchdown. And she just cheerleaded for Jesus. She just hollered for Jesus. Amen. That's what that's all about.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
God has a purpose in praising.
Amen.
Do you ever notice that word praising? I like to look at words. Do you ever notice that word praising? Do you ever notice what the main part of that word is? Sing. Sing. It's right there close to the word. Praising. Do you know what worshiping God is? That's praising the Lord. That's singing to the Lord. That's making spiritual melody in our hearts is unto the Lord. Amen. That's worshiping God.
Amen.
That's giving praise to the Lord. He's worthy tonight to be praised. Amen. Papa, what's that? What's that man running around the building for? Has he lost his mind? No, son, he's not lost his mind. So look here in the Bible. Let me show you here. Here's a man that was lame from mother's womb. He couldn't walk. Right. He's crippled. And the preachers came by. He's begging for alms. And,
And he asked them, give him something. They said, we don't have any money, but such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And said his ankle bones received strength. He jumped up. He started running. He started praising God. You say, why did he do that? Because God done something for him. And you see, son, that man running around the building, he used to be a dope addict, a drunkard. He used to spend his weekends in jail. And God done something for him. And he's excited about what God done for him.
That's right.
Amen.
What does this mean? Talk about what these stones mean.
Yeah.
Don't mess them opportunities. My wife, very good at seizing upon that stuff. I've stood in another room or sat in another room and heard her explaining or talking to our grandchildren about certain things like that. And that's what the Bible means when it says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
These are meaningful stones. They're going to mean something. When they ask, what do these mean? There's going to mean something to them.
That's right, Brother Rick.
And then look at verse 7. He said, then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever.
That's right.
Papa, what's these stones mean? Well, these were mandate stones, children. These were meaningful stones, children. But these are memorial stones.
That's right.
Yes.
God had us to put them there as a memorial. You know, there's some things that God doesn't want us to forget.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
And we are a forgetting people.
Yeah, we are, brother.
The Apostle Peter said, I wish to stir your minds up by way of remembrance. And you see, the job of a preacher is to constantly remind people of what they constantly forget. It's not that you don't know it, you just need to be reminded of it. God has put these stones there as a memorial as to what God wants them to remember. But you know, God has put some things in our life.
Yeah, brother.
Because he doesn't want us to forget.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, like in the church. A few weeks ago, we took some grape juice and some bread.
Yeah.
And we had a service here on Sunday night that all we did was just come to the Lord's Supper table.
Yeah.
And sup with the Lord and how he met with us that night.
That's right. Amen, brother.
You know, God did that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because he said, as often as you do it, you do it in remembrance of me.
Amen.
God does not want us to forget the fact that his son died for us.
Thank you.
Amen.
That he gave his life upon the cross of Calvary, gave his blood that you and I might be saved. And God has put this memorial table in the church that we might never forget what Jesus
Amen.
Did.
Amen.
Can I tell you tonight? I know a lot of folks, and I've been guilty in the past of kicking these things. But the farther along we go, the more I realize I was probably wrong in it. But you know, we celebrate Christmas every year. And a lot of times people kick Christmas, you know, and say, oh, it's just all commercialism, and that's all it is, and people are spending money and all like that, which is true in a lot of ways. But there's one thing about it. God's let us have it every year.
That's right.
Amen.
And every year when we have it, we can't go through it without having to remember the birth of his son.
Right.
Amen.
And I know in the Bible he didn't tell us to remember his birth. He told us to remember his death. But still, if I had a boy like that, my boy, and if he had died, I want you to remember his death when it was given for the country or given some way. I want you to remember his death. But I also want to remember his birth. I'm telling you, Lord Jesus Christ, he gave his best. He gave his all. And God doesn't want us to forget his son.
Amen.
Amen.
Then about November 25th, somewhere around in there, we'll have what we call Thanksgiving.
Right, not Turkey Day.
God don't want us to forget to be thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
You say the Lord don't care. I believe he does.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does. Because
he healed 10 lepers.
Yeah.
And one of them came back. And you know what he said? He said, where's the nine? Did I not heal nine? God wants us to give him praise. God wants us to thank him for answered prayer and what he's done for us. Amen. There's a reason for it. It's a memorial that we might remember what God's done for us.
Amen.
And then we have Easter.
Resurrection.
I don't care what you call it, Easter, Resurrection Day. We know what it stands for.
Amen.
We know when we gather in church on Easter, Resurrection Day, we know what we're going to be singing about, preaching about. We're going to be singing, preaching about it from the grave he arose. With a mighty triumph over his foes. And God has put this there so that you and I might not forget the fact that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, thank God.
Amen, brother.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
God has put these things in our life.
Yes.
You remember over in Exodus chapter 12, the Lord had told them to put that blood on the doorpost.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And then in verse 12, he said, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night.
Yes.
And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord.
Amen.
And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
And
the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now listen. And this day shall be to you for a memorial.
Amen.
You shall keep a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep a feast by the ordinance forever.
Amen.
You know what God was saying? God's saying, I'm going to give you a memorial feast called the Passover, because I don't want you to ever forget. I want you to be reminded every year that I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you through the Red Sea. And I tell you tonight, God wants us to remember he brought us out. God wants us to remember when he saved us. Where it was at. Where it happened at, thank God. If you're saved tonight, it's good every now and then to go back down memory lane and just go back there to where it all happened. Thank
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir. God's put some memorial stones there.
Amen, Brother Rick.
These are personal. He says in verse 6, it'll be a sign among you.
Yeah.
You see, with them Canaanites and Hittites and Zebusites, when they came around there and they saw that pile of rock, it didn't mean nothing to them. They said, look there at that big pile of rock somebody piled up there. Didn't mean nothing to them. Because it wasn't there for them. Can I tell you tonight, this Bible don't mean nothing to the world.
Amen, brother.
Can I tell you the cross don't mean nothing to the world.
That's right.
Can I tell you tonight, this old gospel story don't mean much to the world.
Right.
But it means something to
us.
Amen. Amen. You say, why? Because we got a part in it. Because we know why it's there. We know what it's for, thank God. I'm glad that it's personal tonight.
Amen.
Then it's a picture, Brother Eddie.
Yeah, brother.
He said, you go down in there and you get them big stones, 12 men, you lay one on your shoulder. And you come up there and you put it right there at the camp of the bank where you come out, and you put it there at the camp.
Bless the Lord.
And then he said, you get some more, and you go down there and you put them in the midst of Jordan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see, this at this time Jordan swelled all its banks. When Jordan swells all its banks, it's a mile wide at least. God had held back them waters. When they got them stones there in the midst of Jordan, God released them Jordan. All that raging torrent of water came beating down upon them stones. And it's a picture of our blessed Lord. It was under the waters of our judgment. And when God released them at Calvary, they came beating down upon the Son of God. And there he was in the midst
of the wrath of Almighty God. Oh, but thank God, on the other bank, there's a pile. The water doesn't hit them. The judgment doesn't fall on them. You say, wow, that's a picture. That thank God he went in for us so that we could come out. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, brother Bob says, just sit there, I'll shout for you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's a picture of that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
He went in there, but he came out.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Hallelujah.
He went in there, but 3 days later, he came out.
Yes, he did.
And all them people out there in the cemetery, their loved ones that we missed,
Bless him, Lord.
We place them flowers on the grave and stand there and reminisce.
Bless him, Lord.
Coming up.
Think about days past. And think about Grandma. Think about Mama. Think about Grandpa. Think about a little boy, a little girl. Think about a brother or sister. But thank God. There's a pile of stones on the other side. They went in the grave, but thank God they're coming out of the grave. And there's going to be a great family reunion someday. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It's a picture. And then, look at verse 7. Last part. He says, these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever.
That's right.
Yes.
You see, this is not only personal in a picture, but it's perpetual.
Woo!
It's perpetuity. That means that it's forever. It's forever.
Yeah.
And some things God don't want us to forget.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Some things God ain't going to let us forget. Because he's put memorials along the path, along the way.
That's right.
And can I tell you that God gave his dear only begotten son, the only perfect person that ever set foot on planet earth.
Amen.
There was no guile ever found in his mouth.
Right.
His enemies said, I can't find any fault in him at all. Perfect Son of God.
Right.
God gave him to be beaten, spit upon, plucked his beard out, cat of nine tails, crown of thorns, spear in the side. God gave him for our sins on the bloody cross of Calvary that we might be saved tonight.
Amen.
Brother God don't want you to forget them.
That's right.
Memorial Day don't mean much to some folks. I'll tell you who it means something to tonight. Mm-hmm. You go down through there and knock on the doors. You start up there at Cherry Street and go down to the inn, knock on the door after door. Sir, I'd just like to ask you, ma'am, I'd like to ask you, what's Memorial Day mean to you?
Bless
you,
Lord.
Just a holiday. We have a cookout.
Amen.
You keep going down through there.
Bless you, Lord.
You finally get one, you knock on the door, and an old gray-haired mother, old gray-haired daddy opens the door. Say, sir, I just a minute of your time. What's Memorial Day mean to you? They'll fill up with tears and start to course down their cheek and drip off on the floor.
Yeah.
And they'll say, that means my boy.
Right.
My boy died over there in Vietnam. Or my boy died over there in Korea. It means we remember my boy tonight, man.
That's right.
You see, when you got somebody over there, it means something to you.
Yeah.
Amen. Heaven gets sweeter all the time.
Yes. Every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Used to, I didn't have money over there. But all now is starting to gather a pretty good little bunch over there.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen. It means more to me tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you, heaven means more to my wife the last few years than it did before that.
Yeah.
You say, why? Her little old gray-haired mammy's over there now.
Yes.
She wiped the tombstone off last night, washed it off, and she said, I miss her so bad.
Yeah. Bless him, Lord.
Oh, we thank God. Hurts so bad when you leave. Feel like you died. Feel like your heart's tore out of it. But oh, Brother Ricky, if it hurts that bad when they leave, how good's he going to feel?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Glory to God.
When we hug him again.
Woo!
When we see him again.
Whoa!
Oh, Brother Ziegler said, he said, I've stood by the Brother Prophet, I've stood by the bedside in the hospital, nursing homes, and family there, and waiting for that last breath. And the doctor, maybe the nurse in there, and he said all at once, he said they'll take that final breath, and everybody holds theirs to see if they're going to breathe another one. And then the doctor reaches down, grabs it, feels for a pulse, and he pulls the sheet up over their head, and he looks around. He says, they're gone.
Bless him, Lord, bless him.
Brother Ziegler said, Brother Prophet said, one day I was in a situation like that. And he said, I see the doctor pull that up, and I see him turn around and tell the family and said, they're gone. But he said, God, let me see on the other side. Yeah. There's a big bunch over there said, how to come? How to come? Yeah. I'm glad, thank God. I raise the promise of heaven.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, brother.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Glory. Amen. Follow what these stones mean. Amen.
Amen.
We need to take time to gather them little youngins up. Just sit down, take a Bible, just explain to them. This is what that's about, honey.
That's right.
That's right. That's why God told us to do this. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I thank you this evening. It's been a good day. The Holy Spirit of God has been strong. Been strong in this place today.
Amen.
Lord, I pray you touch some hearts here tonight. Thank you for touching my old heart. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll just get glory out of this service tonight. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand, if you would, please, tonight. And if you come tonight. Your time to come and pray.
109.
Tonight. It's such a blessing to have them with us today.